Welcome to another set of Capstone presentations. We will begin with Brandon Holley's presentation, followed by Hillary Evans. And so the person introducing Brandon can come forward and we will begin. Nathan, that's right.
Morning. So Brandon Holley. Brandon's from Roanoke, Virginia, transferred to EMS from Gardner Webb University Divinity School, and is graduating with an MDiv this spring. He's currently interning with the Baptist Collegiate Ministry at James Madison University and with Harrisonburg Baptist Church with their college ministry. And I personally, he's a quiet spirit, but I've always been incredibly impressed with the, whenever he presents, I'm always blown away and really impressed with what he comes up with. So I'm excited. Brandon?
Okay, so I'm doing my project on millennial drop-offs, the title, Lack of Involvement of Postgraduates in Congregational Ministry. So just through my kind of experiences and internships, I've noticed that sort of an area where there's some potential, at least, for drop-off to happen, for people to not be involved in congregational ministry, churches, after they spend time in a campus ministry, if they do. So, okay, so the main concern is just millennials, specifically college slash young adults, dropping out of church once they leave their campus ministry, not finding the same atmosphere they had in their campus ministry might be one of those leading factors. Campus ministries are not forever, so what's next? So, recognizing that people in their 50s or who have kids aren't going to be still in their campus ministries, they're going to move on to something else, and hopefully a meaningful ministry that gives room for fellowship and community and things like that. So the goal and the hope is to have college slash young adults connect with the church while they're in their campus ministry to get acclimated to that type of ministry before they have to go and before they graduate, so they don't have to reacclimate once they do get into another type of ministry. Generational integration is a really big part of that, being able to work with younger generations and older generations, and everything from maybe childcare for younger generations to going on a mission trip with older generations, anything like that, where they can have interaction and connect well. And then millennial involvement and contributions. I think there's sort of a stigma for millennials that they're very consumeristic, and I think that's, we can say that for a lot of us, regardless of age, but I feel like that they kind of get picked on a little bit more for that, and so recognizing that to be a part of a church, you want to be able to contribute something, not just take what the church is giving you, be able to have constructive contributions as well. So for terms for some of the millennials, or some terms for millennials, years old. I know there's some sort of a range that people might have differing views on, or different sources might say different things, but generally 18 to 29 is what we're looking at. Mosaics, nomads, college-aged, young adults, which is a little bit different, I would say, from college-age students, because young adults don't have to go to college. They can still be in that age range and not have that specific type of experience. 20-somethings, and then I added in what now, because I feel like that's what a lot of 20-year-olds and up are saying at that point in their life. So Mosaic just relates to, this is from the Barna group, which is a statistical group that gauges different trends and things like that. They've, and David Kinneman, who's the president of that group, has defined a mosaic as relate to others, but also focused on themselves and support diversity. So that's kind of where the mosaic term comes in, of that diversity element. Nomads walk away from church engagement, but still consider themselves Christians. So that's kind of the main group we're looking at, is the nomad group. People who are still Christians, but don't engage in church or might not engage in a church setting once they do graduate from a campus ministry. And then young adults, ages extend beyond college years, and they might not attend college to begin with. So, then why is this an issue? Testing moral spiritual foundations kind of experimentation with a lot of people happens during this time. The kind of faith trajectory is kind of solidified during this time. So that can be, if they're younger and they've had their faith kind of planted, that can still be altered a little bit during this stage. It's very experimental, and can have a strong impact on that. Change in faith tradition also happens during this age. And then where are the new ideas coming from? So in your churches, if you don't have any young people ideas, kind of fresh ideas to look at your churches with, there you may not have a very meaningful ministry in a lot of ways. So just making sure you have new ideas in there, having a good source for that. And millennials are a good source for that, to contribute their thoughts as well. So some personal research that I've done, I didn't get as big of a response from my research as I would have hoped, but I did send out three different types of surveys. So one of them is for young adults, one of them is for congregational ministers, so like church pastors, and then another one is for campus ministers. So for the young adult questions they asked, are you currently involved in a campus ministry, a congregational church, or both? What, as a college student slash young adult, are you looking for in a congregational church? If you have a preference, which do you prefer, a campus ministry or a congregational church, and why? What, if anything, is missing from congregational churches that you think would draw in more college students and young adults? If you do not attend a congregational church, what is the biggest factor keeping you from doing so, and what is the likelihood of you attending a congregational church once you graduate, and why? Then any additional comments or insights they might have. I wanted to leave it open for any things that wasn't covered in those questions. For congregational church ministers, is there a young adult ministry present in your church? Roughly how many young adults would you say attend your church? And then what's your church's approach to ministering to young adults? Are there outside of church events available specifically to young adults? What steps, if any, are you or your church taking in helping integrate young adults into other generations of your church, both older and younger? Then any additional comments? And then lastly, are there congregational churches available to students in your area? What type of relationship does your campus ministry have to local churches? What approach, if any, do you take in helping students connect to congregational churches? And then on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the closest and 10 being the furthest, how close are local churches to the college campus slash dorms of your college ministry that you're affiliated with? Is there transportation available to students who wish to attend a church in the area of your campus ministry? And any additional comments? So some of the highlights from the survey, things that stuck out to me as I was kind of reading over some of them, wanting to be with people of other ages, so not just college students all the time, which is significant. Hesitant to seek out a church if you're introverted, not wanting to kind of put yourself out there and go to a place you don't know. One of them said the ladies, so that's maybe what some people are looking for in a certain age. Fellowship, community, campus ministries, a poor job of connecting young adults to churches was one that really stuck out. People looking for mentors, they open their homes to me to be a part of their family. So that's a huge part too, really big part of that intergenerational connection, having people open their homes to them. And then deep theology, so looking for something just that goes beyond surface level. Some highlights for the congregational church ministers launch, which is actually something that I have a personal connection to in Roanoke. There's a church that basically has a college age service, kind of almost like a parachurch, but it's inside of their church. So there's a specific group, kind of like a campus ministry within a church that meets weekly, and it's all for, I'd say, 18 to 29. Some people are married, some people are single. There's a variety in that, but that's a young adult-centered ministry within their church. So I think that's a unique perspective to look at, too. And then they also have two Sunday morning Bible study groups, so they actually split up the young adult ages 18 to 22 and then 23 to 30, and then young couples and newly married Bible study groups. So they have a lot of variety within their young adult focus, which I thought was very interesting. A lot of people just kind of clump them together. Survey highlights for campus ministers. A big part is partnering with local churches, whether it's asking local churches to donate meals, speaking at retreats or things like that, and then mission work that's available to have the students work with the people from the church. 2 to 3 on the church dorm proximity scale, so that's pretty close, especially around Harrisonburg. There are a lot of churches close by to colleges and things like that, so being able to get to a church is not too difficult. Sometimes you might have to walk a little bit, but a lot of churches are within walking distance, at least to JMU, which is one of the big ones around here, and EMU too, so that's significant. Some transportation is available to get to church, and then church and campus ministry. I know there is Adam, I know it's part of RISE, and they kind of are able to do both, and I think that's really cool and really unique. And there's another church in the area, Aletheia, that also is a church and campus ministry into one, and so that's also a really unique take, really cool dynamic to have. So some statistics from the Barna Group, which is really the main source of a lot of these kind of broad spectrum statistics. This particular study conducted in 2011, I'd say the only downside of this research is some of it's kind of dated. I think the most recently is 2013, but I think there's enough information here to really set the stage for what the trend has been happening and will happen in the future. So they interviewed those who attended a Protestant or Catholic church or identified as a Christian at any point before age 18, and 59% dropped out of church after going regularly. 57% were less active in church today in comparison to when they were 15 years old. 38% went through a season of doubt in their faith, and 32% went through a season where they wanted to reject their parents' faith. Overall, 43% reduction in church engagement between the teenage years and early adulthood. That percentage was taken from approximately 8 million individuals in their 20s who were engaged with the church as teenagers, but will likely not be by age 30. So I think some additional thoughts with that are, again, not knowing where you're going to get those new ideas from, not having the kind of age dynamics within your congregation, and just having sort of a single type of, you know, there's a big gap between really young kids and then kind of older adults, and then maybe some youth in the middle. And so, you know, what is the church doing to shake that up a little bit? 2013, millennials who have not attended church in the past 6 months, 44% in 2004, 44% in 2007, 36% in 2010, and then 52% in 2013. And then that's compared to all Americans who have not attended church in the past 6 months. And you'll see the numbers are higher for the young adults. For the all Americans overall, 34% in 2004, 31% in 2007, 28% in 2010, and then 47% in 2013. So what are some reasons millennials might be leaving? And the not top 10 reasons for having their faith grow is church is not mentioned. So prayer, family and friends, Bible, having children, relationship with Jesus, those are above church, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but I think it does make us look at why those things aren't happening in the church, or why are they not happening in the church to the degree that people feel like church is a place that encompasses all of those things. So something worth looking at there. And then rethinking institutions. Some of the millennial mindset is kind of seeing some of these things as more arbitrary, like marriage. You know, I'm sure marriage is kind of being delayed. Some you'll see a lot of that, especially if you keep up with social media, you can see when people are getting engaged and married and see how that might be taking longer than in the past. Media, government, church, again, these kind of institutions seen as more arbitrary now. Millennials have said that church is not relevant and worship viewed more as a boring duty. And Christianity not offering solutions to the complexities of life. Some additional reasons. They want spontaneity, inclusion, interesting activities, close relationships, and they instead kind of get shallow programs and content focused mainly on morals. So this is right, this is wrong, very kind of maybe black and white things. Maybe not a lot of room for discussion. Where do millennials fit into the congregation? 1 Corinthians 12:31. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's basically, actually, it's the one sheep goes astray. You know, you go and find the other sheep. You incorporate everyone. And so I think that's the same approach you need to take with millennials is if one of them, if someone's having an issue, or if someone's not feeling connected to the church, you can't just say, well, kind of 9 out of 10 people are happy. We can just kind of let that one go. Really incorporating everyone in there. And making sure everyone's included. 24% say faith is not relevant to my career or interests, so millennials wanting something that's relevant to them. 23% say the Bible is not taught clearly or often enough. 20% say God seems missing from my experience of church. Those are who attended as teens. And then there are other reasons that continue on, but there are unfortunately more. Some possible solutions, so intergenerational relationships, mentors, making young people feel valued, having their goals put in a relevant context. So some things that we're doing at Harrisonburg Baptist Church where I'm interning, we have this thing called college lunches, and it used to be once a month at someone's house, and that was really significant because it was usually an older couple in the church, and they would feed us and welcome us into their home. They would tell us sometimes about how they met their spouse, who was also hosting us, or they would tell us something about, you know, maybe they went to seminary. And those kind of meaningful experiences are really important for the college students to hear. And it's really great just to have that intergenerational connection. They're serving us, and we're able to go into their home, and it's a really great time. And now it's shifted to being a once-a-week meal, still at someone's house, but it's at one person's house. And we're still having really great conversations. It's a very intentional kind of theological conversation time. So you'll notice before, deep theology is what someone said that they wanted. And we definitely have that now. And just sitting around talking about theological issues or whatever it may be is really helpful as well. So we kind of shifted focus, but it's still a meaningful focus. And then Operation End as Much, you may have heard of that. It's kind of a community-wide mission day. And that's a great time for all generations to kind of come and work together. And I think whenever you're doing work like that with someone who's not your age or younger or older, that it's a really significant time because you're all working for God, and you're able to share in that. Helping with Awana. Awana is basically a year-long vacation Bible school. So we've had people who are in campus ministries, or in a campus ministry help with that. And so they're kind of bridging that gap between not just spending all of their time within the campus ministry, but are branching out and helping around with things in church, helping out with maybe childcare or recreational activities or music or things like that. So giving their time to church and making that connection while they're still in their campus ministry and hopefully getting ready for that transition. And then people who might be serving in praise band in a church who are also in a campus ministry. So ministry, not industry. So a lot of industries, industrial type of language is like, well, we can get 7 out of 10 people to like this car, for example, then we're happy with that. We're still making a profit. That's 7 out of 10. That's 70%. That's great. Well, you know, if it's 7 out of 10 or 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 10 for you know, a manufacturing type of context, that's fine. But for ministry, it's not fine. 10 out of 10 really needs to be the goal. So I can't say, well, 9 out of 10 students are happy or are getting what they want, that's good enough. It's not good enough. Matthew 10, 18, 10 to 14. I'll read that real quick. Illustrates it well. Take care that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you, in heaven, their angels continually see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost. So I think that illustrates pretty well what the point is, making sure everyone's included in kind of not catered to necessarily, but making sure you're doing what you can to help make them feel welcome. And if you can't, point them into a church that can do that, that does have the resources. If you don't, if you're not able to do something that they're looking for. And then being flexible, something that worked last year might not work this year. So not being too set in a certain kind of ministry model for, I'd say for anyone, but in this case for young adults, things change, people change, issues change, and I think that the church needs to be willing to change with that and be flexible with that. And that's it. So those are some sources. A lot of them from the Barna Group. If you're looking, it's a great place. It has kind of a ridiculous amount of statistics, and they even go into looking at symbols and saying what age group connected to this symbol more versus this symbol, whether it's a garden versus a traditional worship space in terms of what people feel comfortable worshiping in. So those are really great resources to look at. And then a few books centered around young adults I have over here. One of them's called You Lost Me by David Kinneman, who's actually the head of the Barna Group. Another one is called They Like Jesus But Not the Church, Insights from Emerging Generations by Dan Kimball. College Ministry in a Post-Christian Culture by Stephen Lutz, I think is his last name. That's how you pronounce that. And then Emerging Worship, Creating Worship Gatherings for New Generations. So that's also by Dan Kimball. All right. I think there's a question time or... I think it really depends on what group you're working with. I know there are people, friends of mine, for example, and I'd probably be on the upper end of the millennial spectrum. They have issues that are important to them that I really don't care about, to be honest. And so I think it depends on what group you're working with and getting a sense of, it's like a youth group or a college group, for example, kind of figuring out or fielding out what is it that you're interested in, what is it that you're struggling with right now, and basing it off that rather than trying to cover all of the contemporary issues or contemporary things that can be relevant, because that's always, every week, it's like something new. So I'd say just the best way, maybe ask them, what is it that you want to get out of it, and kind of point blank, see what... Mm-hmm. So asking... Oh, I think definitely. Yeah, I think people want to feel like they're being listened to, for sure. And having that engagement of, I want to listen to what you're telling me and not just kind of think a lot of the... I think the kind of default for a lot of people, the way people see churches, I'm a deacon, or I'm a 40-plus-year-old person, or I've been in the church for 10 years. I know more than you do, and kind of have this condescending kind of connection with a lot of younger students, which is kind of stereotypical, but I think it's true to some degree. So I think just kind of eliminating that and getting on their level, if you will, and saying, what is it that you are struggling with? And I think that connection is really helpful. I think it does make them feel relevant.
If so, how did you get back in? Or maybe
Mm-hmm. Oh, I definitely did my first year of college. I went to church once. I think it was actually Parkview Mennonite. I have some relatives who went there. And it was great, but I didn't go back. And I think part of it was I didn't have a car or anything, but I didn't really make an effort to go. And so for me, it was school. I just got really busy, and I thought, well, I don't have time for church, basically. And it was ended up being a group that didn't meet on campus that I finally started getting involved in. But I definitely did have a year and a half where I just didn't really go. I would consider a drop-off for me, and it was largely due to, in my case, busyness, because I'd always gone to church at home. But so it can be different things for different people. So,
I understand that as church leaders, we're not always going to please everybody. So I wondered if you could talk more about what you mean about the 9 out of 10 mm-hmm. not good enough. Mm-hmm.
I think it's easy for people to get lost in a group. So maybe more specifically, if you are in a group of people and one, for some reason you get the sense that one person is not quite into the Bible study or not quite into the activities that are happening, not leaving them alone, basically. And that's, you know, some people, they have different personalities, or maybe they're introverted, they need that, they're processing it differently. That's something to maybe try to figure out with them. But if someone seems like, or even mentions, you know, especially saying that they're not quite interested in church, whatever the activity is, for whatever reason, you know, don't be satisfied with that. Figure out what can you do to help them get interested. And if you can't do something, if you don't have the resources, that's part of it, unfortunately. And I guess I wouldn't say the worst case scenario, because you're still pointing them toward Jesus, but point them maybe to a church that can do that. If they really want this specific type of Bible study and you just don't have the resources to do it right now, or you already have 5 other ones that are you can't add anything else to, then say, well, I know this church down the street or wherever that does have this. And I know we're talking about in a class last night, being able to go to a different church as well and get something from that, and then be able to come back to your church. And so leave that kind of openness to be able to say, kind of let them get what they need and not be too concerned with, again, if you can't fulfill that need. But yeah, just not being satisfied with people not being engaged or something like that. Again, unless that is the way they process information or whatever. But that's kind of, is that more clear? Or, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No one in our church knows. So I don't know if you run into that at all in your research, but I'd be interested in understanding, you know, different levels of engagement mm-hmm. with church and what drives different levels of engagement.
Kind of like fringe people kind of
yeah,
on the
Yeah,
that'd be great something to know the answer to. Because I've seen it, obviously, in campus ministries, too. Yeah, people who come maybe once every semester. I don't have a good answer for how to get people involved, unfortunately. But I have noticed, it has been blatant, but I get the sense that because we have had people who can't go to things, for example, in BCM, who can't go to things because maybe marching band or whatever, and we just had someone come back who was with us in October, went to something, didn't come back until March. And so I think they really felt welcomed back in. So if that does happen, I think that I can't say it for the other side. If someone does show up just being like, hey, glad you're here, you know, which I'm sure is what is already happening. But I think it's important for people, for whatever the reason is not being able to be engaged, when they do come back, to feel like they didn't really lose any time, and they didn't really lose any, socially, they didn't lose any ground, because they can still interact with other people. So I think that what I can say is I think the other side of that is to just, when they do come back, to be really welcoming and be excited they're there. So, but yeah, but I wish I had a better solution. I didn't look much beyond in either direction for younger generation. That was just, I was already at information overload kind of. So, but I did think it's really important. I think a definitely benefit of having college students in church is to be able to have the younger generation see that as an example. I think the danger of college kids leaving, aside from just graduating college and going on to a different church, is that, you know, the younger generation see that and they see, well, John has left and this person has left. And so kind of stopping that pattern of leaving and letting the younger generation see. One thing that is really cool is that I know before we've tried to go to, this is a few years ago, try to go to a local church and do things with them. So college students going with the youth, to the youth and just playing games or something like that, letting them know that they're there and kind of engaging with them and keeping that connection kind of from youth group into college too, and helping them get integrated into that kind of lower phase chronologically of going from youth group to college. And then, so, but I think that was helpful. That was something we did. So I don't know if that was a good answer, but that's kind of, but no, I haven't really looked beyond that.
Let's take one more.
Definitely, yeah. I think, and that's kind of what I was trying to mention earlier is if some people need time away for whatever reason, and if it is a situation like with Adam, with like Rice, where people don't come, I think, yeah, definitely. I think, again, I think I'm a big communication person. I don't talk a lot, but I do think communication is key in these types of things. So if someone comes up to you and says, hey, I just kind of need some time away, like respecting that space, or if you go up to someone else and say, hey, I've noticed this or this or this, what can I do for you? And they say, well, I think I really need some time away from church, this or whatever. I think respecting that and then saying, hey, I'm here if you do need something, but for now, do your thing. And then when you come back, we'll be happy to get you, you know, happy to pick up where we left off. And again, I think it's important for people who do go through that to not let them feel like they've lost any ground, not let them feel like people have kind of left them out. And I don't know, it probably looks different for different groups, how they get reintegrated back in, but I think helping them feel like they're still in the current socially or theologically, whatever, helping them keep that consistency when they do return, I think is really important for them. So.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah. We'll take a 10-minute break. Brandon, I invite you to go into the area outside the chapel. If people want to engage you further with questions or comments, feel free to do that. That'll give Hillary a chance to set up. And I'll call you back in about 10 minutes. Thank you.